the gift giving or the gift economy more later, but I think it makes the act of giving a gift that much more difficult because of the system that's in place that makes us so emotionally attached to these things that we own, and the competition, and yeah, there's a lot of different factors that play into that.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think competition will ever go away, you know, in nature and in human greed. But I think, yeah, with this incorporating this gift economy, which is kind of goes off the principles of cooperation, it is possible and it is needed because it can fight, you know, our very capitalistic human greed and kind of form our mindset that, you know, we don't really need a Sheen Hall, or we don't really need four houses kind of thing, that it's just too much and too much surplus.
And another, just one last aspect of the framework, I guess, that makes up our current world is that natural resources are seen as commodities. Like they are separated from their intrinsic value as part of our ecology and our environment, and they are instead given a monetary value as something to own and to sell. And I think that's also a big issue with what we have going on right now, is seeing these, like, seeing everything pretty much as a commodity, even if it's just part of our natural world. And we should be, you know, making ourselves more equal and living with it instead of using it to exploit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more of a cycle than a, you know, straight line to the product and the consumer kind of thing. But this does tie a lot into our episode about indigenous ties with the land, because this book that quoting from is from an indigenous scientist. So it uses this indigenous wisdom that, you know, the land is not a commodity. They believe that the land is everything, like it's life itself. It hosts, like, you know, the salmon people who give up, who are humans who become salmon and they give up their flesh kind of thing. And it's this whole world. And with our very capitalistic society that we've made, it has gone against that. And so it is good to hear a new perspective.
Yeah, definitely. Especially. It's very refreshing, I would say. And also, this was said so long ago, but I'm just kind of clicking it now, is that I think obesity is not necessarily like too much of something, but rather rather like too little of something in a way, because obesity kind of comes from poverty and not having enough money to feed yourself with the nutrients that are available, and also being overworked. So yeah, I just wanted to say that I just was thinking about it, like,
obesity is a disease as well.
Obesity is like a very complex subject
and genetic too,
like the reasons why.
But yeah, but that's a whole nother story.
I feel like I regret the junk in the trunk comment.
It was needed. We needed that.
So sorry.
No, honestly, we got it. Good conversation has all bullet points in them.
Yeah.
But I think that will wrap up our first little part to hype you up for the gift economy, which will tell you how it works, what to do, and how it ties back into this kind of foundation of cooperation. But before we do that, we're going to go back to the music for a little bit. So this next one is called Call You Back by the band Tops. And it's from the album Bury the King. So enjoy.
Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. We just danced our way awake with Soul Mikasa.
Yeah, I'm a young black man who uses art to champion and celebrate blackness, as well as creating art that showcases black men as comprehensive, emotionally intelligent human beings.
Right now, we are going to hear a spoken word rap piece by Slam Poetry winner JB, the First Lady. That is Lady Johnny Proby singing Don't Quit, and here at Speak Up, we do not quit. Love, laughter, argument, and encouragement. The words are too few for the essence of you. And it shows just one of the ways that you can take feelings of pain and transform them to love and recognition. Today, we're exploring senior issues through digital media and the creative arts. My guests are Leslie Riemann, the director of the 411 Center, and Joel Flynn from Podstream. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, welcoming you to the Friday Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon What You've Heard show. We have conversations about social issues, culture, and creative arts events, potent samplings about special months like Health Month, Black History Month, Women's Month, Nutrition Month, and more. See you Friday at 10 a.m.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. Woohoo. We're going to continue our conversation that we were having right before that break. We only played one song, but yeah, we're just too excited.
Too hyped up here. So yeah, back to the topic.
Wait. What was that song though?
Oh yeah, we gotta. We only did one song.
Okay,
I already said.
Okay.
We'll do it one more time. That song was called "Call You Back" by the band Tops from the album Bury the
Key. Bad.
But yeah, back to the topic. So if you left briefly, we'll just reiterate what just went down a song ago. So we were talking about the role. Kind of more the going briefly over the rules of evolution, kind of the misconceptions that we have about them, and how this ties into, you know, cooperation, and, you know, why do humans just help each other instead of this very competition economy that we're right now in. And it's tying with this book from the indigenous science author, Robin Wall Kimmerer, called The Service Berry. So great book. Go check it out if you'd like. Very, very short book too. So don't have to take too long for that. But we're going to go into the second part now, which is talking about the book's idea, which is incorporating the gift economy, which is a component of cooperation in evolution. So as I said, this is the book's main idea. And it goes like, let's pretty much the gift economy is giving gifts, easily said,
boom,
set and done. But it's like, you know, when you go to the store, you pay for something and you buy it. But with the gift economy, as it says in the name, you give something without expecting anything in return. And this is a great idea, and it comes from this perspective, from the author, the indigenous side. So, you know, you can think about the indigenous potlatches, which were these big celebrations that they had and were also banned because it didn't, you know, fit in with the European standard. It's like, they were like, why are you giving stuff to each other and not selling it?
And at the same time that the colonizers banned the potlatches and banned Indigenous people from producing their own art or doing anything cultural, they were taking those same items, cultural items, and putting them in museums. Yeah. So, just so y'all know.
So, yeah, we took that away. But it comes from this idea of just giving. And, you know, at the potlatch, you give things to other people for special ceremonies and et cetera.
And I think part of the idea of potlatches, I don't think this is, you know, universal for all Indigenous peoples, but giving the gift is also, or I think accepting the gift is more of a recognition that you witnessed the events that happened at the potlatch. And it's mm-hmm. about like witnessing one another and, yeah, just being there and receiving the gift is part of that experience.
Mm-hmm. And not even just the potlatches too. I thought this was really interesting, but for I didn't know this either, that for birthdays I'm not sure if it's every culture for in every Indigenous clan, but I know that for birthdays that instead of the person getting a bunch of gifts, this is the time that they give gifts to other people.
Oh, yeah. I kind of like that, actually.
I know. I heard that. I'm like, okay. I can go with that. I'd be broke, but I can do that.
Mm-hmm. That's actually really sweet.
It's so sweet.
There's no day other. I guess Christmas is when you give it to everyone,
yeah.
But it's not, it doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah, because it's like, it's like expected. But when it's random, or I guess maybe when you do the birthdays, it's also expected by a certain point to give. But I think that it is nice, especially that it is not common at all in our culture, in Western culture, to give to others on your birthday. So I thought that was great. I don't know why I have never. It's so simple, too. It's such a simple idea. And it's like, just do it the other way.
Ooh, I know. That's cool. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, if you enjoy that too, maybe check that out. Maybe give some stuff on your birthday.
And serviceberry, I was also curious what this plant was because the whole book is named after the serviceberry. And I looked into it a bit. And it's an example of ecological reciprocity. So it does a bunch of things for the ecosystem other than just bear fruit. It hosts like pollen for bees. It also has butterfly larvae spots to like keep that those generations going. Gives berry eating birds food, and it's just really supposed to represent the principles of a gift economy, which are generosity and care. It's really interesting to see these things as also gifts from nature, like the just resources, like water, berries, animals, fish, all of these different things. And I think it can go even further to say that maybe perhaps even beauty is a gift from nature. And that it sounds a bit, you know,
interesting, yeah,
religious or spiritual, but just thinking about
it's like a butterfly.
Rainbows or something,
yeah.
Or, you know, all these different things, waterfalls, like they're all so cheesy. I feel like I'm like
rainbows.
Making little cool rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns. But just, you know what I mean? Like there's so many different things that nature provides us with that are not just something to eat or drink, that are bountiful and, you know, amazing. So, yeah.
And it's all for free.
Yeah.
You can just look at a waterfall and look at a rainbow.
It should be.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are not making it free, like charging to access that land because they own it. But in theory, it is. It should be free.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, okay.
Like, no one can own nature.
Go random on. Example, like the gross grind. Man, that thing is expensive getting down. Like, gosh, like $40? No way. Take my leg.
No.
Okay, but yeah, I guess they put some stairs up a mountain, then they called it their mountain.
Yeah, or resorts, you know, buying up beaches.
Yeah, you can't. No one. It's actually you can't actually own a beach at all. It's in any part of the world. You have. Okay. You can buy the access to the beach, though, and so you can cut all points off. But I mean, if someone's on your beach, it's technically not illegal because you can't own the beach.
That's kind of nice to know.
Yeah,
there's definitely a loophole to that. Like
there's definitely
said,
a loophole. Oh yeah, like these all inclusives in Mexico. They've got people getting you off there once ever you touch their land. But back to this. So, you know, in our society, I don't think it is not possible for everything to be free. I'll just say that because there must be some sort of system we need to have, in my opinion, where we have this, you know, giving or selling an item and we take it. But I think we should definitely incorporate more of this gift idea and more of this giving without, you know, in a way that to help your community and not expect anything and just lift the people around you. I mean, like, for example, our libraries are more of a forced, they're more of a forced idea of this gift economy because we, our taxes pay for it. So our government makes us pay for the libraries. But man, libraries are amazing.
Yeah, I love libraries. I saw that note and I was, yes, libraries.
Oh my gosh. You know, there's so many things you can do and you can just get a book for free and then give it back.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a beautiful world we live in.
They also have not even just the government things, but we have people doing these little free libraries you might have seen. So these are these built-in cases usually around neighborhoods and such where people put their books in. You can take a book, leave a book, et cetera. But it's so beautiful. Like whenever I see one, I almost feel a tear going down my my face.
It's so nice. And yeah, with the system of exchange, what was written in this book is that wealth is not necessarily defined as having a lot of money or assets, but it's having enough to share. So I think a lot of us, you know, have enough to share and beyond, but we just don't. And they kind of talk about like redistribution. And yeah, like if you have a surplus, why not? Why not share?
Why hoard
save it?
It
up for something? Like, you might not even ever use all those things.
It's like, yeah, you can hoard it up and maybe you can get a more expensive item or you can make a bigger project with your time or et cetera. But that's not going to bring you more happiness at all. Like, the point is just to be happy and by hoarding and by buying all these things that you think will make you happy is not the principle of life I don't think one should follow.
And the example was like, oh, you can store food in your cupboard or you could store it in your friend's belly. That's kind of cool because you're also living, I guess, in the present more in a way too by practicing that.
Yeah, that is true. You don't have to think. So that is the idea of the gift economy, so giving things. And as well, back to the wealth thing, this giving gift economy is not just about, you know, something that you can buy. So, you know, you could give a pair of mittens to a friend kind of thing, which you bought. But you can also, you know, give your time or you can repair something for someone, et cetera. It goes way beyond that. And, you know, even just sitting down, having a conversation with your neighbor about if they're going through a troubled time is an act of the gift economy. And it's giving up your time that you could have used for something that could have benefited you, which is not, I mean, you can do it, but it would make you and your community more fulfilled.
Yeah. And I think this would pretty much only work if everyone or most people in the community are practicing this. Because if you're the only one who's, you know, gift giving, it might start and inspire people to do so, but you also don't want to get drained out of all of your resources because, you know, this economy is still based on ecological economies where, you know, everyone is playing their part. So it seems like a really interesting idea, but I'm wondering if it's too idealistic, like if it's possible.
That was part of the note I put down. And what the author also mentioned is that this is usually not very implementable in large cities or a community that is larger than a town. I think that personally, like doing this in a neighborhood, even just starting as one person is better than doing nothing and sparking something, because there will always be, if you live in a neighborhood that is somewhat connected, there's always a chance to start something like this. And it might as well, and as well, it just bonds your community together and makes you stronger socially with everyone, your neighbors around you. I'd also think, like, you know, in those storybooks, like the isolated towns, but not even just storybooks, but like if you live out in Alberta somewhere in a small town or somewhere that's smaller population, this is possible. But yeah, there was the issue that this could not really be implemented in a bigger city, even just like, you know, Richmond, for example. There's no way.
It is definitely hard to see it, like, you know, necessarily combating capitalism. And I know like that's not the purpose, is to defeat capitalism or anything, but it is, I guess, a way for us to have more meaningful and fulfilling lives under capitalism and trying to, you know, fight it in our own way.
That's why I think I like this book, because the aim of the book wasn't directly to fight capitalism. It was just more about embracing nature, but it had that side effect where it does combat capitalism. And I think that's great. And it doesn't really throw it at your face kind of way, so it's more digestible for the masses as well. Even just saying like, oh, combat capitalism, people are like, oh, you know. But then you say like, oh, you know, go bake a pie for your neighbor, and people are like, okay, I can do that.
It's like taking the steps to do community building before and organizing.
I think building a community is a form of fighting capitalism.
Yeah, definitely.
So this good book.
Good great book. Book. Great book.
Read this book.
Read like, this Service Berry book.
Oh my gosh. Like, I'm telling you, I've read a lot of books. I was a bookworm. We were both bookworms and still are growing up. And I think this is one of the books that I'm so glad that I've read and just randomly picked up, because it's one of those things that really does change your look on life. And I want to give more gifts. I just want to...
That would be nice.
Yeah, just like randomly. Because I remember the one time someone did that for me, and I was like, wow, I'm never going to forget that.
Yeah, no, definitely. One time I told my friend she was wearing a pin that was a lizard. I was like, oh my gosh, I love your pin. And she's like, take it. Like, you can just have it. Wow. So I think she was doing the gift economy, had given me like little knitted things. Yeah. And, you know,
it's amazing.
It's so special.
It feels, makes you feel special. Makes also
shout out
the person.
Evelina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's amazing. Anyway, we're just hyping it up. But
I'm just so happy right now.
I know. Makes
thinking
you feel
about
so happy too.
The future, the possibilities.
And with this as well, you know, there's benefits. Other than, you know, social connection, making you feel happy, you have, it's only when you have this autonomy of giving, like if someone forces you to give something, you're like, ugh. But if you go,
that's
out
why
your
Christmas
way,
is kind of like,
yeah, Christmas is like, it's like thanks, it's more of an exchange,
yeah, true,
kind of thing. But with this, you know, you give that gift with autonomy, and there's spiritual benefits as well, you know, good karma, and it's sustainable. I feel like, in a way, if someone gives you a good pair of mittens, you're going to wear those mittens. I mean, for the most part. And you'll value it more. And you'll see the value in items more rather than something that's more transactional, like, you know, a pair of $10 mittens from the store you can just buy, which thousands are produced the exact same way. But it kind of makes you think more about the item that you're given.
Yeah, there are tons of benefits for sure. But I think we do need to start wrapping up this conversation and just, you know, rattle off some ways to start a gift economy, because, you know, that'd be nice for everyone.
So we already mentioned a couple points about that. So just starting with your neighborhood, you know, your next door neighbor, your apartment building. Apartment building is also a great way to live in a strata. Just go knock on your neighbor's door, because most of the time we don't even talk to our neighbors really. And so go knock on the door. You can be like, oh, I've been knitting this, or I made some cookies or something. Here, take them. And so you build a relationship. Makes you feel good. It builds your community, because maybe they'll do the same thing. And it can be a domino effect. And, of course, not everyone is going to take it and make an impact. But there will be someone who does it, and it will be a ripple effect.
For sure. Less attachment to material items, giving away what you don't need, practicing sharing, all of these things are good to start a gift economy.
But we do have to go.
We do have to go. Wrapping it up now. So thank you all for listening.
Speed wrap up.
Next up is our friend Lynn's open mic. Little shoegaze, probably. And then
I believe it was emo cowboy.
Emo cowboy, shoegaze.
I got it wrong.
Okay.
I'm getting the mouth that it's wrong, but somewhat like that, but very special episode.
Lynn's what gonna, is your Lynn's gonna, topic, Lynn?
It's going to come
Midwest
here.
Midwest emo shoegaze.
New West.
Midwest emo shoegaze.
Okay.
That's coming up next, guys. So
it is live. It has been researched very thoroughly today, so I would definitely stay tuned.
Get excited.
Strap in. But after that, we have Bitcoover with our music coordinator, Connor, at 8 p.m., usually 2-hour special, amazing show as well. So stick around for the next while. But we're going to end off with couple extra songs. So what do we have? We have the next one, It's All One by the Dirty Sample. So this is, I like this song. I like this whole album. A lot of sampling. So it's kind of got this very grimy feel to it. But it's nice. So enjoy.
Enjoy.
See Bye. You next week. You can all. You can all.
You get all.